In the global energy race, what does it mean when one country controls over half the world's production capacity for a critical future fuel? This week, new data shows China now holds 53% of the world's renewable hydrogen capacity. The implications for Western industry are staggering, and that's what we're breaking down today. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on technology and strategy. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. This week, we're tracking a profound divergence in the global hydrogen economy. In the United States, a multi-billion-dollar federal program is kicking into high gear, creating massive regional industrial ecosystems. In Europe, ambitious plans are hitting a wall of economic reality, with major projects being canceled. And all of this is happening in the shadow of China's accelerating dominance. For Western companies, understanding this landscape isn't just strategic. It's existential.
So we have a story of American ambition, European hesitation, and Chinese ascendancy. Let's start in the U.S. Troy, what is the H2 Hubs program we keep hearing about?
The H2 Hubs program is the U.S. Department of Energy's $7 billion strategic initiative to create 6 to 10 integrated regional clean hydrogen hubs across the country. Think of them as complete ecosystems, connecting hydrogen producers, consumers, and the infrastructure between them. The goal is to jumpstart the entire hydrogen value chain at scale.
And this isn't just a plan. It's happening now?
Correct. The funding is flowing. For example, the DOE has awarded up to $1.2 billion to the High Velocity Hub on the Texas Gulf Coast. This hub will produce both green hydrogen from renewables and blue hydrogen from natural gas with carbon capture, aiming to cut 7 million metric tons of CO2 annually.
So, for a manufacturer in Texas, what does this mean on the ground?
It means a reliable, large-scale supply of clean hydrogen is coming online. For U.S. manufacturers in petrochemicals, steel, and refining along the Gulf Coast, this is a direct pathway to decarbonize their industrial processes. They can replace their carbon-intensive gray hydrogen feedstock with clean hydrogen from the hub. It's a massive competitive opportunity to produce lower carbon goods.
What about trading companies? Is there a play for them?
Absolutely. The High Velocity Hub's output is earmarked for fuel cell trucks, ammonia production, and even marine fuel. Trading companies should be exploring partnerships now to secure offtake agreements for this clean hydrogen and its derivatives, like low-carbon ammonia. The first movers who lock in supply will have a significant advantage.
And the actionable insight for an executive listening today?
If you operate in the U.S., identify which of the 6 to 10 H2 hubs is in your region. The Heartland Hub, for instance, received up to $925 million to produce low-carbon fertilizer. The Pacific Northwest Hub got up to $1 billion to focus on electrolyzer cost reduction. Engage with your regional hub's consortium immediately to understand their roadmap, supply timelines, and how your operations can integrate. This is a foundational shift in the U.S. industrial landscape.
That sounds like a powerful, coordinated push in the U.S. Troy, the picture in Europe seems much different. We're hearing about major project cancellations. What's going on?
Europe is facing a serious execution gap. The ambition and the targets are there, but projects are struggling to reach final investment decision, or FID. A prime example is the high-scale 100 green hydrogen project at Germany's raffinery Heide. It was just canceled for the second time, citing economic and regulatory hurdles.
Canceled twice? That sends a pretty negative signal.
It does. And it's not an isolated incident. Plug Power also just abandoned its planned 100-megawatt green hydrogen project at the port of Antwerp-Bruges in Belgium. The reasons are similar: economic viability concerns and slower-than-expected market development. This follows the withdrawal of a major $1.66 billion U.S. DOE loan guarantee to the company.
So what does this mean for a European manufacturer who was counting on these projects to decarbonize?
It means their decarbonization roadmap is now at risk. European manufacturers in chemicals, steel, and logistics are facing continued uncertainty about the price and availability of green hydrogen. This delay puts them at a competitive disadvantage against U.S. counterparts who will soon have access to subsidized hub-produced hydrogen.
And for European trading and distribution companies?
The risk is twofold. First, the lack of large-scale local production delays the emergence of a domestic market for them to serve. Second, as the port of Antwerp itself noted, it may be more logical for Belgium to import hydrogen. This means European trading firms need to be looking outward for supply, to places like the Middle East or even the U.S., rather than banking on local production that keeps getting delayed.
So what's the immediate action for European executives?
They need to aggressively lobby policymakers for more effective de-risking mechanisms. The gap between policy announcements and bankable projects is too wide. Executives should also diversify their energy transition strategy. Don't rely on a single green hydrogen project coming online. Instead, evaluate a portfolio of options, including long-term import contracts, and invest in efficiency measures that can deliver emissions reductions now.
While Europe struggles, what about Asia? You opened the show with a startling statistic about China.
Yes, the data is unequivocal. According to S&P Global, as of late 2025, China commands approximately 53% of the world's operational renewable hydrogen production capacity. Its total hydrogen production capacity has now exceeded 51 million metric tons per year. This isn't about future plans. This is about steel in the ground today.
And they're not just using it domestically. They are starting to export.
Precisely. We just saw a landmark event. China's State Power Investment Corporation, or SPIC, shipped 3,750 metric tons of green ammonia from its project in Jilin Province to a consortium in South Korea. This is the largest single-batch export of green ammonia recorded globally. It's a powerful demonstration of their end-to-end production and logistics capability.
What is the direct competitive threat for U.S. and European manufacturers here?
The threat is scale and cost. China is building an entire green hydrogen and green ammonia supply chain optimized for low-cost mass production. For Western manufacturers of fertilizers, chemicals, and even future clean fuels, this means they will soon face a flood of low-cost green commodities from China, backed by a dominant supply chain.
How should Western trading companies react to this? Are they a customer or a competitor?
Both. In the short term, China is a new, major source of green ammonia. Trading companies should be establishing relationships with producers like Spike now to understand pricing and availability. But in the long term, they must recognize that China is building a vertically integrated system. The strategic move is to secure non-Chinese supply chains from the Middle East, Australia, or the US H2 hubs to create a resilient and competitive portfolio.
Your actionable advice for our Western CEO listening to this?
You must update your competitive analysis to account for China as a dominant green energy commodity producer, not just a hardware manufacturer. Reevaluate your supply chain for vulnerabilities. If you rely on ammonia or hydrogen, you need a strategy that either partners with Chinese suppliers or builds a robust, cost-competitive alternative. Ignoring this shift is a critical error.
This all paints a picture of a race defined by government strategy and industrial scale. Is there any new technology that could disrupt this landscape, Troy? A wild card?
There is, and it's focused on the core technology, the electrolyzer, specifically a technology called AEM, or anion exchange membrane electrolysis. A U.S.-based company, Power to Hydrogen, just delivered the world's first industrial-scale 0.5-megawatt AEM electrolyzer to the port of Antwerp, Bruges.
Okay, Troy, translate that. Why is AEM such a big deal compared to the other technologies we hear about, like PEM?
The key difference is materials. PEM, or proton exchange membrane electrolyzers, are efficient but rely on expensive and scarce precious metals like iridium and platinum for their catalysts. AEM electrolyzers do not. They can use common, low-cost materials like steel and nickel. Power to Hydrogen claims this could reduce the capital expenditure, or CapEx, by up to 65% compared to PEM.
A 65% cost reduction is a game changer. What does this first deployment at a major European port mean for manufacturers?
For U.S. and European manufacturers, this signals a potential pathway to cheaper, on-site green hydrogen production. If AEM technology proves reliable and scalable, a factory could install its own cost-effective electrolyzer system, reducing its reliance on large, centralized hubs or volatile energy markets. It decentralizes the opportunity.
And for trading and technology distribution firms?
This is a massive opportunity. Distributors should be tracking AEM developers like Power to Hydrogen very closely. Securing distribution rights for this next-generation, lower-cost electrolyzer technology could open up an entirely new market segment of small to mid-sized industrial users who were previously priced out of green hydrogen. It's about market timing, getting in before the technology becomes mainstream.
So the actionable insight is about technology scouting.
Exactly. Executives should immediately assign a team to evaluate the commercial readiness and supply chain of AEM and other next-generation electrolyzer technologies. Don't just plan around the current technology landscape. a 65% cost reduction in the core production hardware would fundamentally alter the business case for every green hydrogen project on your roadmap. You need to be prepared for that disruption.
It's been a packed briefing. Troy, can you summarize the key strategic takeaways for our listeners this week?
Certainly. There are three critical takeaways. First, the U.S. is making a decisive, large-scale public investment to build domestic hydrogen ecosystems through the H2 hubs. The funding is real, and projects are moving forward. U.S. firms must actively engage with their regional hubs now to secure a competitive advantage in the low-carbon economy. Second, Europe's hydrogen strategy is hitting a critical juncture. The gap between ambition and execution is widening, creating uncertainty for industry. European executives must press for clearer, more reliable policy and financing mechanisms while simultaneously building more resilient, diversified decarbonization plans. Third, China is the undisputed leader in operational renewable hydrogen capacity and is now a major exporter of green derivatives. Western companies must urgently develop strategies to compete with Chinese scale and cost, or risk being marginalized in the global market for green commodities.
So, engage, de-risk, and compete. A clear set of strategic imperatives. That's all the time we have for this week's Troy Technical Intelligence. Thank you for the analysis, Troy.
A pleasure, Susie.
To our listeners in manufacturing, trading, and technology, we hope this briefing provides the clarity you need to navigate the week ahead. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an update. Join us again next week for your strategic edge.